For this morning's scripture reading, turn to the book of Isaiah, the 34th chapter. Isaiah chapter 34 in your Schofield Reference Bible, page 742. We'll read responsively the first five verses of this chapter. Verses 1 through 5. And we'll read them responsively. Let's stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. Come near, ye nations, to hear and hearken, ye people. Let the earth hear, and all that is therein, the world and all things that come forth of it. For the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations, and his fury upon all their armies. He hath utterly destroyed them, he hath delivered them to the slaughter. Their slain also shall be cast out, and their stink shall come up out of their carcasses, and the mountains shall be melted with their blood. And all the hosts of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens be rolled together as a scroll, and all their hosts shall fall down, as the leaf falleth off from the vine, and as a falling fig from the fig tree. And then we'll read the text verse together, verse 5, please. Ready? For my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon Edomia, and upon the people of my curse to judgment. And let's pray. And Father, what a wonderful thing it is to be here in this, our church. Thank you for our church, for all the church family, and what a blessedness it is to gather with these dear people. But of course, more especially, it's wonderful to be here where you meet with us and where you do business with us. We pray that thou wouldst help us now through the preaching of thy word and bless the preaching of it, our preacher, in Jesus' name, amen.
There's an amazing little passage tucked away in the Garden of the Old Testament. It says this, my sword has been bathed in heaven. My sword has been bathed in heaven. C.I. Schofield, of the Schofield Bible fame, was a contemporary of Dwight Moody of Evangelism and Moody Bible Institute fame. C.I. Schofield one day asked Mr. Moody if he would be willing to preach Mr. Schofield's funeral message should Mr. Schofield precede Mr. Moody in death. Mr. Moody jokingly said, I'd love preach your funeral. Mr. Moody said, would you preach my funeral if I precede you in death? Mr. Schofield seriously said, I certainly would. Mr. Schofield said, Mr. Moody, what subject would you use if I precede you in death? Mr. Moody jokingly said, I'd preach on the subject, and the beggar died. Mr. Moody said, what would you use for your text should I precede you in death? Mr. Schofield seriously said, I would preach on the subject and his hand clave to the sword. And his hand clave to the sword. Mr. Moody did precede Mr. Schofield in death. Mr. Schofield did preach Mr. Moody's funeral service, and Mr. Schofield did use for the text, and his hand clave to the sword. The apostle reminds us in Hebrews chapter 4 that the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And what a wonderful use of that little figure of speech is found in our text for this morning. My sword hath been bathed in heaven. My sword hath been bathed in heaven. I think it would be worth your listening if you would hear the meaning of this little scripture. My sword hath been bathed in heaven. Our Heavenly Father, I take the sword of the Spirit this morning to wield it for a few moments. This time-tested weapon of war. This battle-tested sword. And I pray this morning, you'd bless us as we think for a while on this amazing, startling text. My sword hath been bathed in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. God's people, His chosen nation, His people, were in peril. They faced a cruel enemy, a wild nation known as the Edomites, descendants of Esau, whose name was changed to Edom, which means red, after he had sold his birthright for simply a bowl of red soup, something like perhaps our chili. They faced a cruel enemy in the Edomites. The Edomites, wild, savage people, great warriors, mean and dirty in their warfare. That isn't all. At the time of our text, God's people were also facing 70 years of enslavement, 70 years of being away from home, 70 years of realizing the beloved temple had been leveled, destroyed, 70 years of realizing that their houses back home were all leveled to the ground, and 70 years of realizing that the entire city had been destroyed and pilfered. 70 years. And God comes along and says, I know you're facing a horrible battle. I know you're facing a wild enemy. I know that you're facing the darkest hours of your life. But He said, I want to tell you something. I'm going to come and fight for you, said God. And He said, I'm going to come. I'm coming with my sword. I'm going to come and fight for you, and I'm going to come with my sword. Now, He said, I want to tell you something about my sword. He said, the sword I'm going to bring has been bathed in heaven. Has been bathed in heaven. Now, the same word bathed is translated other places in the Bible, intoxicated. I almost preached this morning on a drunk sword. It says, my sword has been intoxicated in heaven. What it meant, the Bible often mentions that being drunken with the blood of the martyrs. What it's saying is this. God is saying, you're facing the enemy, my people. You're facing a wild, ruthless enemy. And He's saying only that you're facing the darkest hours of your life. And He says, I'm going to come and fight with you and fight for you. Boy, that's enough. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us, says the Word of God. But now He says, I'm going to come. But He says, I'm going to bring my sword with me. And I want to tell you something about my sword. He said, my sword is bathed in heaven. Now, what does it mean? What does it mean with the sword? As I said a while ago, the Word of God. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, says the Bible. So what God is saying is, I'm going to bring my sword. I'm going to bring the Word of God. And that's the weapon God always uses when He fights. And that's the only chance you've got to win whatever battle you're fighting, is to use the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. When Jesus was tempted on the Mount of Temptation, the devil came and tempted Him, and He said, as it is written, He shot the sword back at Him. And the devil came the second time and tempted Him, and Jesus said, as it is written, and He shot the sword back at Him. And the devil came the third time and said, as it is written, and Jesus shot the sword back at Him. And as you Wednesday night folks, and all of you Wednesday night folks, but as you Wednesday night folks well know, I made this. What Jesus was doing, He was shooting the temporal with the eternal. Devil came and said, how about making some bread out of these stones? And Jesus said, that's temporal. He took the eternal and shot down the temporal. And the devil came and said, to jump off the pinnacle of the temple. And let angels come. And Jesus said, that's temporal. He took the eternal and shot down the temporal. You see, He took the always and shot down the now. And there's no way you won't lick the now without the always. And so God said, I'm going to come and fight for you. When the Edomites attack you, I'm going to come and fight for you. While you're in bondage, I'm going to come and fight for you. While you're facing the darkest hours of your life, I'm going to come and fight for you. And He said, I'm bringing my sword. But He said, I want to tell you something. My sword has been bathed in heaven. Now, what in the name of common sense does the little term mean, bathe in heaven? Here's what it means. God is saying, I've got a sword. And every battle that's ever been fought in heaven, I've used this sword. Now, he said, I've got heaven's weapon, bathe in warfare in heaven. Don't you recall in the Bible, two or three times, it talks about the war that there was in heaven back yonder before there was ever a world? Don't you remember how that the Lucifer, see, there were three archangels, Lucifer, Michael, and Gabriel. Each of these three archangels had one-third of the angels. By the way, the angels were created beings. They're not eternal. And each of these archangels, Gabriel, Michael, and Lucifer, had under his jurisdiction one-third of all of the angels in heaven. So there came a day when Lucifer said, I will exalt myself. I will become the king of heaven, and I will exalt myself. And Lucifer took the third of the angels that were his, rebelled against God, and tried to take over the throne of God in heaven. And you recall how that Lucifer and his angels were cast out of heaven and cast to the earth? And that's what Lucifer was doing on earth when Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden. And immediately God not only cast them to the earth, but prepared an eternal place for them called hell. That's why it says in Matthew 25:41, then he should say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And I've said this many times, if you go to hell, you'll be an intruder. Hell wasn't made for you. Hell was made for Satan and his angels. God did not intend to. Well, why would God send anybody to hell? God doesn't send anybody to hell. God made a hell for Lucifer and his angels. And the quicker they get there, the better I'll like it. But he made a hell. But the only reason you'll go to hell is if you are enticed and listen to the enticement of Lucifer, who tries to get you to join him in his eternal home. But God said, in that battle, when Lucifer was cast out of heaven, and the angels of Lucifer, the fallen angels, were cast out with him, and I won't go into this, but I personally think that's what demons are. I think that angels are those angels still at the disposal of God, two-thirds of heaven's original angels, under Michael and Gabriel. I think that demons are those one-third of the devils that were cast out of heaven. I won't go in to try to prove it, but that's what I believe. Now, wait a minute. God said he won the battle, cast out Lucifer and his angels out of heaven, and won the battle. How did God win that battle? He won it with the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Now, if it takes the Word of God for Jesus to win his battles, it just may take the Bible for you to win yours. Your cunning won't do it. I mean, your planning won't do it. And your man-made methods won't do it. And your promoting won't do it. And your plans won't do it. The only hope you've got to win the battles in your... Listen, if the divine, eternal, virgin-born, pre-existent Son of God needed the sword bathed in heaven to fight his battles, then you need the sword bathed in heaven to fight your battles. And yet there it sits on the coffee table, nothing more than a decoration piece, while you read the magazine, read your newspapers, watch the dirty television programs, hear your dirty music, and listen to the watch the soap operas, and there sits the Word of God on the coffee table, unread, unused, and yet Jesus needed the Bible. You don't need the Bible, do you? You can make it on Love Boat, or Edge of Night, or Corner of Darkness, or Secret Storm, or Tiptoeing Tornado, or Silent Hurricane, or the filth of the garbage you watch on the box. What you ought to do is turn the little knob off the thing and get and close the papers and magazines and find out that God wrote a book one time, and that book is bathed in heaven, and God is saying this. God is saying, I'm coming to your rescue. An enemy is coming to fight you, but I'm coming to your rescue. But I'm not coming alone. I'm coming with a sword with me. And I want to tell you something about that sword. That's the sword that created the heavens, bathed in blood. Every battle that God ever fought, he fought with that book. Every celestial battle ever fought was fought with that book. Every heavenly battle ever won was won with that book. And God is saying, this weapon has been used before. It was used in heaven. It was used when God made the stars, He created the stars with the Word of God. When God put the moon for the king of the night, he did it with the Word of God. When God made the sun to rise, he made it with the Word of God. When God
made the mountains, he made them with the word of God. When God made the forest, he made them with the word of God. When God won the battle against Satan eternity past, he won that battle with the word of God. And now God comes along and says, hey, I'm coming. I've got my sword with me. He said, it's bathed in heaven, never lost a battle yet. As long as I use my sword, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth us. I'm coming with my sword, bathed in heaven. It won the battle against Lucifer. It'll win your battle. It won the battle against the fallen angels. It'll win your battle. It created a world. It'll win your battle. It made the stars, the moon, the sun. It made the trees, the flowers, the lakes, the rivers, the oceans. And what God is saying is that I'm coming to fight for you, and I'm coming with this book, bathed in heaven. It's already proved, brother. It's been proved in heaven. God comes to say, I used it for the creation of angels. I used it for the creation of heaven. I used it for the creation of earth. I used it for celestial battles. And now from this celestial battle comes the same hot sword of God to fight for Israel. The same force that had been engaged in eternal battles now stands ready to fight for God's people. May I testify for a few minutes of today? It's a very special day in my life. 38 years ago this afternoon, I sat over in the corner of the Hillcrest Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas. A little group of people gathered in the left-hand corner facing the people, facing the crowd. Must have been 60, 70 people there is all. My pastor stood up and said, ladies and gentlemen, we're gathered this afternoon for the ordination of one of our young men, Jackie Boy Hiles. I was the least likely person in the church to ever be a preacher. Had a presbytery there, some preachers were there, and just a few of the church members. It's sort of pitiful, I think, how few people give a hoot about ordination. Always breaks my heart to see how few people really care about one of the greatest days in the life of a man when he's ordained to preach the gospel. Look out and see maybe 35, 40 of this great crowd of people here. We call ourselves friends and call ourselves loyal people, and one of our own can be ordained to the gospel ministry, one of the three or four greatest days in his life. And everybody's too busy watching the box to come or eating and drinking. It always upsets me, bothers me, breaks my heart. But anyway, 38 years ago this afternoon, I sat there, and my pastor laid his hands on me. I can still remember the sermon he preached. I can still recall the illustrations he used. My pastor was a little short man, about 5'6", inches tall. He must not have weighed over 140 pounds, but all a box of dynamite. And I loved him. And I remember, as if it were yesterday, 38 years ago this afternoon, he laid his hands on my head and prayed for God to use me. And then, after it's all over, he gave me a Bible. And he said, son, this is your weapon. This is your weapon. I did not know then that it was bathed in heaven. I did not know then that angels lost their celestial estate because God used the word of God in heaven. I did not know then that the Bible always was. I didn't understand the eternality of the word of God. But my preacher stood and my preacher said, he said, son, here is your weapon. He gave me a Bible. I had no idea. 38 years ago this afternoon, the battles that were ahead. I had no idea how badly I'd need that weapon. I had no idea when he said, here is your weapon. Here it is, the sword of the Spirit. And if there's anything in the world the Church of Jesus Christ needs to do, it's get back to the Bible. I'm not talking about believing it. I'm talking about reading it. As I held that new Bible, I love the smell of new Bibles. I love the smell of new cars.
I smell Bibles more than cars. But I held that Bible to my breast. I did not know then all the battles I'd have to use that word on in. I did not understand then how I'd need that sword bathed in heaven. I did not know then that someday I would lead two great churches out of the two largest Baptist denominations in the world. I did not know then the struggle of these years. I did not understand as I held that new Bible near my breast how much I'd need it. I did not know then. I know something now. I was on Lake Michigan a few years ago. Not on Lake Michigan. Well, I walked out about 100 feet, but lost my faith and began to sink. But I used to have a little spot out there where I'd pray. And I'd go drive out there. You know where Whiting Park is? I'd drive to Whiting Park, and around Whiting Park, and there's a little road down there where nobody, it's not a beach or anything. And I had a little private spot where I'd go, and I'd pray there. I've prayed hundreds and hundreds, and I think thousands of hours there. And one day I prayed there a couple of hours, and I was backing out, and as I backed out, backed the car this way, and I was going to go down the little road that way. Looked up in the rearview mirror, and there was a fella with a rifle, took a bead on me. And just at that moment, I had swerved the car, and a bullet came right by the car, and the guy was trying to kill me. I used to jog. By the way, I don't pray there on Lake Michigan anymore. I used to jog. I used to run a couple of miles every night. And now I still jog. I jog around the desk in my office. I can do four laps now. But I used to jog. I was out jogging one night about 10:30, 11 o'clock. Car came down the street and they cursed me. A bunch of people cursed me. I drove around the block and it came back and then again they started cursing me. And then all of a sudden they got real slow. They started shooting bullets at my feet. That's where I learned to dance. All of a sudden, I realized they were trying to shoot me. At least they're trying to scare me. I did not know when I held that Bible next to my breast 38 years ago this afternoon that I'd lead a great church out of the greatest denomination, Baptist denomination in the world because I couldn't stand the liberalism. I did not know I'd come north and lead this church out of the great American, I say great in numbers, not great in doctrine, American Baptist Convention and have all the hordes of hell shooting at me. I did not know that then. I did not know then how I'd be hated and lied about and attacked. Recently on a Saturday afternoon, I got out of the car out here near the alley, walked a few feet, looked around, somebody hollered at me some awful words and came down on top of me, and for 5 minutes we scuffled out there. Let me tell you a sweet story. This is so precious and sweet. I tried to get to the street. I thought people would be out there on the street and somebody could stop it. And we scuffled for 4 or 5 minutes and finally I worked my way toward the street, got out there on the street. Nobody's out there but women and children. My security guards were were there, but and they were pulling for me. They were cheering that I'd win. I cried for help. And three houses down, there was a fellow who worked for a rug cleaning company. He saw it. I didn't know the fellow. He came running down, and he stopped the fight. And he may have saved my life. I sent him a check a few days later for $500. And I got the sweetest letter back. I didn't know the fellow. But I sent him a check for $500. I said, you may have saved my life. He wrote me a letter and he said, "Dear Brother Hiles," he said, "I never knew you by name, but I've always admired your church. I've admired your stand." He said, "We're Christians too." He said, "Jesus is our Savior." And he said, my wife and I have been expecting a baby. And we didn't have any money. We had to have $500. And we've been praying for $500 for God to help us to give it so we could finance the baby. And he said, I would send you a check back, but he said, we know God answered our prayer. And he said, I want to have an appointment with you and talk to you about the Lord's work. I believe you can help me. And he said, well, we praise the Lord. I got a letter from his mother down south, and she wrote a letter, and she said, I'm one of your fans, Brother House, for the years. And she said, to think my son. She said, my son never has been in a fight, far as I know, in his life. And to think the first fight he got into, it was to save, maybe save the life of a man of God. She said, how we praise God that God used my son. And in a few days, I'm going to have an appointment with a fellow. But what I'm trying to say is this. He came. I did not know in those days folks that hated a preacher. I thought everybody loved preachers. I did not know. When my pastor handed me the word of God and said, son, this is your weapon, I didn't know what he meant. I thought he meant, you know. I didn't understand it. I didn't understand the battles. I didn't understand the script. And I didn't understand it. Just this morning, before church, I was attacked again by a different fellow. I didn't understand it. I didn't understand and still don't understand why anybody wouldn't like a preacher who's trying to get them saved and trying to help people. I don't understand that. But understand this. I understand that the only hope I've had for these 38 years it's been the fact that I have a weapon that was bathed in heaven. Proved on the battlegrounds of celestial fields. Tested and proved by God as the author of the book. Wielded the handle of the sword and used it in heaven. And now he says, you got any battles on earth? I'm coming. I've got the sword. It's bathed and proved in heaven. I'm going to come. I beg you, preacher boys. I beg you, young men of God, going to Howells Anderson College. I beg you to realize that your hope for the future in the battle is not your personality. It's the sword bathed in heaven. Bathed in the blood of fallen angels. Bathed in the blood of celestial battles. Bathed in the blood of heavenly skirmishes. Personality won't do it, fellas. The fact that you went to Howells Anderson College won't do it. Who men need dangers, toils, and snares. I have already come. His grace hath led me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. The sword bathed in heaven. Proven! Proved! Used, undefeated. And I beg you, beloved friends, trust your soul to the sword bathed in heaven. Martin Luther said on his deathbed, somebody said, Mr. Luther, are you sure you're saved? Martin Luther said, yes, I am, with a voice barely understandable. It is said that they said, Mr. Luther, suppose you've been wrong and you get before God and they won't let you in heaven. Mr. Luther said, I plan to turn to 1 John 1:7. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And he said, I plan to open it to God and say, God, did you write this? And God will say, yes, I did. Mr. Luther will say, God, are you going to let me in? And God will say, Martin, I have to. It's my word. I beg you, don't trust in a denomination born on earth. I get so tired of hearing people say when I'm out soul winning, I get so tired of hearing people say, well, my denomination, we just don't believe like you believe. I beg you, you've got a soul down there. It's going to live forever somewhere. I mean, you're going to die. You're not here forever. You're going to die. Don't let your tradition and what Mama said or Papa said or the Reverend said, don't let it be your hope for heaven. You open this sword bathed in heaven and find what it says. I beg you, beloved, unsaved friend, or person trusting something other than the contents of the sword bathed in heaven, I beg you, don't trust a man conceived on earth. Don't even trust me as far as salvation's concerned. Don't trust a fellow because he's got some beads around his neck. You go back to the sword bathed in heaven and find what it says about salvation. Don't trust. Look! Don't chance it! Don't chance it! You live once! You die once! You live forever! Don't chance it on what on hearsay. Boy, I love that little story. I haven't told it in a long time about this fellow, Mike. A Pat got saved. He's an Irishman. He got saved. And he started reading the Bible. And one day the reverend came by with this, without his tie. And the reverend said, Pat, what you doing? He said, I'm reading the Bible. He said, now, Pat, you don't read the Bible. We in the church read it for you. And he said, we tell you what it says. Pat said, no, Father, but he said, I found a scripture here that says, desire the sincere milk of the Word. He said, I'm just drinking the milk, that's all. And the reverend said, but Pat, it's like this. I'm the milkman. I bring you the milk, and you drink what I tell you to drink. And Pat said, Father, I got news for you. I done bought my own cow. Don't you trust what somebody gives you by hearsay. Don't you trust the prayer book. Don't you trust the catechism. Don't you trust the doctrine. And don't even trust what the preacher says. Trust the sword bathed in heaven. Trying to criticize anybody. I just don't want you to take a chance on going to hell, that's all. Don't you trust a wafer made in an oven. Don't you trust a little juice bought in a drugstore, a grocery store. You trust your life. You trust your eternity. You trust your hope for heaven. And you trust the work that God has given you to do. To the sword bathed in heaven. Our Heavenly Father, do Thou remind us over and over again of the sword.